So I am a COVID survivor. You know, most people will look at you when you say you've had COVID or coronavirus or something and run. Dude, I don't care which way you want to go. I just want to tell you about this man named Jesus Christ and how he healed me in a time that I didn't even know I had it. We went to church on Sunday morning. For those that don't know, these are my Dream Center guys right here. They are from Huntington, our transitional living facility over there. But we graduated. Who did I graduate? Oh, Alan. So after our church just opened up very first Sunday. You know, we do the thing in the middle of the church. So I've spit and, you know, I've hollered on the microphone and we've clapped and we've hugged and we all leave and have a barbecue. Well, after we had that barbecue, I get back over to the house and I'm old. I'll tell you, I'm 62 and I believe that it's our God-given right to nap on Sunday. We've earned it. Yeah. And so I laid down in my bed upstairs. I had the air conditioner on, and about 20 minutes into my nap, I just snapped awake, and I was cold. Not cold like when I lived in Alaska buried in an igloo, but shivering so uncontrollably, and the sweat on my body was so intense, for the next hour and a half, I couldn't move. I literally had a door right here, but my clock was right there, and I laid under those covers for an hour and a half, trembling, hot. So cold. I knew something would happen to my body. So when I finally got up, I made my way downstairs, and my beautiful wife, Kelly, was down there. I said, I got to go to the ER. She knew right away that something was wrong with me because I'm not an ER kind of guy. Suck it up, buttercup. You'll be fine. But I got to the ER, and at the time I walked in for their pre-admission, I was at 102 temperature. By the time I got back to the ER main room, I was at 104.2. Next thing I know, I can't breathe. The fluid in my lungs was filling up faster than they could even diagnose what I had. They took a one-hour test. They came back in. It's now 2 a.m., Monday morning, and they said I had COVID. I was devastated. Psychologically, I thought, how did I get this? Now, I hang out with my dudes all the time. You can tell we're huggers, we're high fivers. We hang out together, we do life together. I'm not afraid of anything because, see, I'm protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when they were saying, take all these precautions, I'm like, that's good for those that don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But see, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says, nothing's going to harm me. So do I believe it or do I not believe it? You know, we don't run a 12-step program at the Dream Center. We run a one-step program. You either step into a relationship with Jesus Christ and have a life-changing ability to get your crap into a new dimension, or step out. Amen. It ain't 12 steps. Now, I do believe in the AA 12 steps and traditions. I do believe that Celebrate Recovery, but they do it 13 Step House and other Lighthouse, all the different places that they do 12-step. There's a need for that. But for the Indiana Dream Center, we don't study 12 steps. We study one step. Learn the Word of God. Learn the power of the Word of God. And use the Word of God. So now I'm devastated. They've told me at 2 a.m. in the morning, dude, you got coronavirus. And I couldn't breathe. And they sent me up to a floor number 5. And it's early in the morning now. It's probably 5, 6 in the morning, dude. And all I see is like these aliens. Everybody got these PTE things. They're pressed so tight against their face. Sweat's dripping off of these poor nurses. And I'm dying. From the time it hit me on Sunday to Monday, I declined rapidly. Now, I know I don't look as fat as I used to. Praise God, Toby earned half of that. But I was 200 and almost 60 pounds when I went in the hospital on May 31st. That virus hit me so quick and so hard, that had just started coming off of me. I couldn't eat. They had me on IVs things. They had me on this ventilator. That will scare you. This ventilator, because it blows this like north wind from Alaska down into your grill and it breathes for you. So Tuesday, Monday, I'm in a blackout. I don't even know where I'm at, what I'm doing. No visitors. You know, you can't contact people like you really want to because you can't breathe the machine. You can't hear nothing, you know, and you're trying to text and everything says, So you have nothing. But I had this dude named Jesus Christ. My best friend happened to be my wife. We just celebrated our 17th year married, and I wanted to hold her. But more importantly, she wanted to hold Jesus, and she needed prayer. So she reached out. This is my biological son over here, Gabriel. Go ahead and raise your hand, show him who you are. And so they reached out to the family, and they start praying. Tuesday, I'm in this funk, dude. I literally, my mind can't think. I don't know where I am. I literally am not there. I'm in a bed. Hear the beep, beep, beep. They have you on like 900,000 things of oxygen, ventilators. Wednesday, I remember this Nigerian doctor walk in. And he's looking at it, and I'm looking at this dude, and he says, well, you're no longer a candidate for treatment. And I'm like, wait a minute, dog. You know, there got to be something. And he talked about these platelets. And there's another thing that starts with R, Radivirin or something of this nature. And he said, but the problem with that is you have to be matched by a donor. With my blood type, it could take 2 to 3 days to find a match. And right now, we don't think you'll make it. But see, I serve a risen Savior. I'm an ex-con, I'm a bike rider too, so I was going to say a flipping risen Savior, so you know, not the F-bomb. And I started praying in my mind. And I asked that doctor, I said, do you know Jesus? And he said, it bothers me when you guys ask me if I know Jesus. I said, brother, I'm here for a purpose. And it's to let you know about a man named Jesus. I got my phone finally because I pulled that mask off and I called my wife and said, prepare yourself because I probably won't make it. I was dying. That was on Wednesday. And it sucked. My lungs had filled all the way up with fluid except for a little bit up here. And if you have ever tried to breathe with something pressed down on you, it sucks. You can't breathe deep. You can't breathe shallow. You just have this machine forcing you to move and to breathe. But it's painful. I made it through Wednesday night. And then walked one of them face mask women with this yellow bag of what I thought was like, it looked like urine. You know, it was just this golden bag. And I said, what is that? And she said, we found you a donor. We found you a donor. And she hooked that thing up there and hooked another thing up there. And I just done told my wife I don't think I'm going to make it. And in walks God with this platelets, golden platelets. And they start pumping that in my body. This is Thursday, and my wife had stormed the gates of heaven. And she does a Bible study with many Bible girls, you know, but they, instead of doing that Bible study, they shut it down and they opened it up on Facebook and it went around the globe. Thursday night, I knew I felt Jesus. My lungs started getting a little bit better. Watching that little platelet bag drip. Come on, you know. Friday morning, I woke up and I sensed Jesus lifted off of me.
Amen.
He literally himself lifted it off of me. By noon on Friday, old Nigerian guy walked in and I said, see what Jesus did? I had removed that little ventilator myself. They don't like that. I got out of bed myself and moved myself to a chair that was over there. They don't like that neither. I don't suggest it. The machine will beep, but they got a silent button on one of those. Bink! I sat there and I moved myself back and forth from the chair to the bed, from the bed to the chair by myself. Because see, my Jesus and your Jesus is a God of healing. He's a God of understanding. He didn't want me, and he knew that Satan was trying to kill me. But he lost. Friday afternoon, when old my buddy, that now he's my buddy, the Nigerian boy, come in, I said, I want to introduce you to Jesus and let you know, don't ever doubt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this time, he said, thank you. Not, I don't want to hear about your Jesus, but he said, thank you. I had taken the ventilator off and I was on 800 or 900 units of this oxygen stuff. And he said, how are you feeling? I said, well, I'm at 97% on my oxygen. I must be doing all right. And he said, let's see if you can hold that overnight. And they gave me the two little nostril holders, little headband, little nostril. So as soon as they went out, I set that over there. It was blowing my ear. It made it feel good. It felt cool. Slept next morning. They come in and I said, I want to go home. I was setting up. They had all these little things plugged into me and all that stuff. I was over in that chair again, and I thought to myself, I drove myself here to the hospital on Sunday night, May 31st. And God gave me the book of Romans. And I struggle with sin. Some of you brothers and sisters in here are struggling with sin.
Amen.
What had I done wrong isn't what I was looking at. What was I going to do right for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? So I had to start looking at his word. And so in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, it says, the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. We can blame community corrections. We can blame pretrial services. We can blame our people. We can blame our past. But that ain't the problem. It's us. Why did I ask you how you spent your $1,200 stimulus check? Because, see, I buried eight of them. Eight of them that took that $1,200 stimulus check and went on a yee-haw. Well, they probably just got the yee out and they're no longer with us. 80% of the probationees relapse some way, somehow, over this COVID virus. 80%! But I'm looking at percentages of winners here right now. Because you made a choice to get up, dress up, and show up again to get your butt together. And you didn't die. You didn't die! Bro, you know what you did. You know, Steve, what you did. You know what you did. It was lack of accountability. I ain't got to go drug test. I ain't got to worry about the cops kicking in my door. They ain't going to come in. I'll just put a sign out and said, I'm infected. We're convicts. Our mentality is we will beat them. And then old Trump, love Trump in some ways, not so many of the others. Let's just give them $1,200. Now, wait a minute. Don't misunderstand me. There is a need for stimulus in our economy. People lost massive jobs, restaurants closing, factories closing. Please understand that's not what I meant. I'm a druggie. You want to shoot me $1,200 and I'm using dope? My wife might get $12 of that when I was using. I'm going to the hub. I'm going to the hood. I'm going to dope. I'm going to drink. And that's what killed some of these dudes. But they made a choice, homies. They made a choice. You made a choice right now to come here tonight and get it back together. Praise God. Man, I'm looking at you. Almost made me cry, dude. Because I know where you've been, bro. I've doped with some of you dudes. I've seen you pull up in front of my house broken and lost. We prayed. Sent you down the way, bro. I've been with you how long? I've known you how long? But we got to either stop playing games and realize Jesus is real, or we're going to keep struggling with sin. We're going to struggle. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't. Instead, I do what I hate. If you hate dope and back it up, quit doing it. You don't understand. Wait a minute. Come on, man. 20 years with the club? Shooting everything that would not stay down my throat? I'd shoot it? Leave my son for hookers? Leave my family? That's his half-brother right there, by the way. Anyway, that's Joey right there. He just came in from Oregon to get his crap together. Give him a round of applause. And why did he come in to get his crap together? Because his brother's getting his crap together. It's generation. It's restoration. It's time to change where we were and step into where we need to be. I've watched you coming back in front of your kids, dude. I've seen you restored to your mom. That brother right here took a daughter to a father's daughter dance. Look good, too, bro. Amen. Look good. It's about restoration. It ain't about keep putting you on probation. It ain't about, dude, I sat there. This one just blows my mind. It's just because of what I do. I go into pretrial services today. The dudes, the Barney Fifes with the guns, you know, and all the clips and all that stuff. Ben's been one of my buddies for 15 years. Ben's over there working at that place, dude. I hung out with Ben for an hour. Watching and saying hi to the Tornells, you know, and the Jeff Yoders and the Rachels and Rochette. Saying hi to them. While others are going by getting drug tested. I didn't have to get drug tested. I got to stand there right by these two brothers and talk to them about Jesus Christ and the death of fentanyl. I learned more right there than I was learning on my own. Then we leave. And we get around, and they've kind of made that street right there really cool. If you haven't been down there, that street's sharp. But I go around the corner, and I could hear it in my head, Donnie! I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm hearing voices again. Donnie! I'm like, oh, Lord. I turn around, Judge Davis is chasing me down. Wendy Davis! Donnie! Dude, I used to be like, ah! You know? Now I'm like, and she's like, we shouldn't hug in public. Well, I'll hug her in her chambers, won't I? I even tried to wear one of her robes one day, but we won't go that far. But dude, I'm on my skin. Wendy Davis stops me right there and talks about life and how good it was to see me alive. They used to want me to die in prison. But now they're hollering down the street, Donnie! Donnie. But there's another voice I want to hear more than that. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ. I want to hear him say, Donnie, yeah. Come here. I've been waiting for you. Enter in, my good and faithful servant. Because see, I know Jesus Christ. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, oh, God, man, we got till 9, don't we? I just got started, Marvin. Just kidding you. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it. Yeah. We're all sinners. I did an interview at Portland Police Station, a radio interview. And I'm going out, and you see those three bikes out there? Two of them are cool bikes. One of them is Williams. Sorry, it's a rice burner, but no, I'm kidding. I'm getting ready to get on that bike and ride back from Portland, Indiana, and the police chief's standing there with his wife. And she said, "Be careful going back." I said, "You know, I'm just going to level with you." I said, "I go fast." I said, "I don't have a problem out here on this whatever road it was out there, 27, 33, whatever it was." I said, "I'm a sinner." And I said, "I pick my sin. I go fast." I said, "You know that little thing that says 55? That's a governmental suggestion. That's a suggestion. I mean, that's how much I looked at going fast as my personal sin." Some of you are sitting here right now saying, "I could just do a little bit of dope. It's Friday night. I know they ain't going to test me till at least one or two Monday, and I can get away. I could clean myself by then." Mm-hmm. What if you can't? We buried 8 of them with dirty dope over in Huntington in a week. My one brother, I was just talking to him, how many in a week? How many did you lose in a week? 5? 5. In a week. You might think you can do some more, because that's a mentality of Satan and our sin. I don't have to do near as much. I'm just going to do a little bit. Do you realize that the chemical makeup of fentanyl gets changed by them goofballs in China faster than you can change a car tire? As soon as it becomes illegal substance, so they can get around it, they throw that batch away and find something that's not illegal and make this crap again. If you don't know about fentanyl, you better research if you're a heroin addict. It will kill you. It will kill you. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Inevitably means I go ahead and do what's wrong anyway. I got a choice. What choice are you making? Joey made a choice to come out here. 3 years ago, my son made a choice to come out here. I got out of Folsom State Penitentiary and made a choice to relocate. Go to any lengths to get your crap together. Go to any lengths to go to the dope house. I remember winter in Alaska, it would be, the dog sleds didn't even want to run. It'd be that cold and that deep. But I was out of dope. I just put on the mucklucks, put on the snowsuit, and I would trudge, dude. Get my dope, take me 10 hours to get that dope, but when I got that dope, I was all right. Are you willing to go to that length to keep yourself clean and sober? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? These brothers right here, every morning they do what it takes. Your dudes that have been in the house with you, every morning they do what it takes. And people, Marvin, mentors, they do whatever it takes. George, you're with the Lighthouse, aren't you, in some way, shape, or form? They do whatever it takes. Crispy, leader, William, VA, my son, a crew, Carl. That brother right there is the quiet angel. I just want you to know that. Not as an angel doing real good. He's just an angel. I love him. Every one of you guys make a choice. I've watched Andy for years. Brian just graduated the Dream Center after a year. An engineer doing great. Has a pimp house now, man. He got going on. Right here, one of my house managers lives in a three-quarter house. Doing great. Couple of these brothers straight off the street, but they're doing it now. So I don't care what your background is. That ain't what's dictating you. I care about what's in front of you. Not way out there where you go, "I can't never get there." What's right here? What's right here? You tired of playing games? I am. My wife told me a couple years back, "You're the most brutally honest man I know now." Well, you know why? Because I was that dude and say, "I'm just going to go get a gallon of milk." 3 months later, I came back and forgot the milk. You know, she didn't believe nothing. "Oh, babe, I need money for this. I need money for that. I needed money for dope. I'd kill, steal, rob, pervert, or destroy for my habit." And I did 12 and a half years in the penitentiary system for it. Now, they invite me back into prison, and it ain't like as a number. They say, hey, pastor, will you come in and speak? I travel all over the country speaking about Jesus Christ. Why? Same reason you can. We have a story. But does our story lead to victory in Jesus?
Amen.
Or does our story lead us back to the vomit? Every one of us have a story. I love God's law with all my heart, but you ready? But there is another power at war with my mind. Woo! This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. It's in me. It's in me. So here's how you do it. Get it out. You got to get it out. You got to get it out. Secrets kill. Oh, you don't need to know what I did in my past. Really? Satan knows. So what do you think he's going to use to trip you up? Your past. If you're doing what's right forward, he's got to go up to Jesus and he says, you see Donnie down there right now? That boy down there that's talking about you and blah, blah, blah. Let me challenge him. Let me dog him. Now God, being as gracious and loving as he is, has to give permission. Yes. Satan don't just get up one morning and go, Kurt, I'm going to slap the fire out of you and there ain't nothing you can do about it. He got to go to Jesus and say, see Kurt down there? You know he has a problem with drinking. How do you think he's doing, God? God be like, do what you got to do. Because see, God knows your heart. God knows your heart. Sometimes it's a little rough. But when it goes from head knowledge to heart transformation, bring it, Satan. I was telling one of my disciples here today or something, I was like, Satan's job is to piss you off. That's his job. But I ain't him working for him. I ain't employed. He don't pay my house payment. I work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I testify as a pastor. I am a licensed pastor, an ordained chaplain, and a convict saved by grace.
Amen.
I don't care what you've been. I want to know where you're going. Because, see, we can do it together. We can do it together. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. You ready for the punchline? Just got a couple of lines. You ready? Oh, what a miserable person I am. You know what it's like to look at your wife and tell her a lie? I'll tell it myself real quick. Knowing the lie that you're telling her, she already knows the truth. She already knows the truth. Telling the lie to your house director, he already knows the truth. Probation, they already know, but we're good. We're good. I can look you dead in the eye and lie. I got news for you, family. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. And I lied to my wife. She said, are you smoking weed? I said, you know I ain't smoking none of that. Because, you know, a good convict already stopped at CVS and got extra strength Visine. You don't even get the murine. You get the extra strength. And you have more axe and toothbrushes. And your marathon station thinks you're getting high in the bathroom. You're just cleaning up because you got high and you're going home. They know. They know, and I say, no, I ain't doing it. And she said, now 15 years ago, when I smoked Marlboro, 2.5 packs a day, in that box was my dope. They know. And it took her 10 years, 12 years, before she finally said, you know, you're the most brutally honest man I know now. I ain't going to lie to her, but it took that long to build trust. Oh, we want what we want right now. We just dogged them for 20 years and we expect them. I asked you to forgive me. Why are you mad? Because you're a liar. Satan's grabbed you by the butt, but you can be redeemed. And the one that will believe you instantaneously is the one that knows you. His name is Jesus. He knows here. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Here's the punchline, dude, and I'm going to let you go. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But in my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. No, you're not. No, you're not. You have a choice. Get it out of your mind. Lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar and leave it on the altar. One of the things I teach my guys is write it out. Why do we write it out? Because it left our mind and went on paper. Then we take it and we pray over it. Then we take it to the pit and light it on fire. Let her go. Now you have a choice. Do you want to work with ashes or newness? Do you want to transform life or do you want to continue to be miserable? See, a little over 2 weeks ago, I almost died. Now I know why. Satan didn't want me here tonight. Sorry about his luck. I'm whole, I'm healthy, and so tonight's your night. What are you going to write? What do you need to write and leave in God's hands and start your life fresh and new? So I'm just going to take a few moments. I want all heads bowed, all eyes closed. And I want you to have a personal conversation with your Lord and Savior. And when it's uncomfortable, I'm going to close us in prayer. Amen. Father, to me, just to see all these heads bowed and all of them talking to you in different ways, Lord, God, you're not only listening to each and every one of us individually, you can do this all around the world. You are the great I am. So, Father, I just pray tonight that you'll prompt in my brothers and sisters to be able to write it out. Leave it there. Burn it up. Leave it in that fireplace. And you transform the head knowledge to the heart knowledge. Father, we get to do this. We're not the five that died. We're not the eight that died. So you have a purpose for us. But Satan's pissed, God. And so I'm asking right now, Lord, each and every one of us represented in this room tonight will have your protective hedge. Yes. And as we become raw and exposed in prayer to you, Lord, I ask that you keep Satan at bay for the tender one. For one, that one that's just like that little kid learning to walk. That you'll hold Satan back until you know that baby or that young person or whoever it is in this room can run with you. And then it's like I say to him, is that all you got, Satan? You can't take me out with COVID. You couldn't take me out getting stabbed. You couldn't take me out getting shot. You couldn't take me out with a 104-year prison sentence because, see, I know you, Father, in heaven have a plan for us. Amen. So I pray right now, Lord, as we leave this building and we go out that little four-letter word that says exit, that we remember that's the proving grounds out there. That exit should really say entrance, that's where the battle belongs to the Lord. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So, Father, do what only you can do. Transform our hearts. Impregnate and birth a newness that smells glorious of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, Father, have your way. And together all God's people said, Amen. Amen.